Blood, pride, survive. You can shake in your bones are breaking. Yeah. Like the Nazi, like the tribes that come to battle on this night. The ring, the field, the field of war. That's where they lay the law.
Lay the law once again. Prepare for war. This is the real and not for a night. To live is to die and free is to die.
Sorry about that, Dean. I was in a wrestling ring.
Oh, no, that's fine. I know you're there getting your students ready for the big show coming up. Now, DJ, I did want to start out. We're going to talk about your interaction with the Cage of Death. Not just the structure, but your history inside the Cage of Death and the history for the promotion. It's the biggest show for Combat Zone. But before I get anywhere, I have a caller, and he's been wanting to ask you a question for a while. He actually called during our last guest, so I'm going to put him on right now. Now, caller, please state your name and where you're calling from, and you have a question for DJ.
Yeah, I'm Chris from New Jersey, and I'm calling if the Athletic State of Commission of New Jersey will allow light bulbs to use in Combat Zone Wrestling instead of like tubes.
Will they allow light bulbs? No. Anything that has mercury in it that can cause cancer is technically illegal in the state of New Jersey.
So that means you won't see any light bulbs.
It's a written law. Same thing as light tubes. They look at them and classify them the same way. So it's one of the reasons why other promotions have lost their buildings and things like that, because they've used them because the state has stepped in. But light bulbs are a bit illegal to use in the state of New Jersey. Now, in other states, different situation. But in the state of New Jersey, it is illegal because they have mercury in them. That is how the law is written. I mean, and you can look that up. It's actually, you can Google it and go to the New Jersey State Athletic Commission's page. They have all the laws. They're all written there. I mean, you got to go through them. I don't remember exactly like what chapter it's in, but it's there.
Oh, okay.
Do you have anything else for DJ, or was that the question?
One more question. Are you doing any more tours in North Jersey? Because there's a lot of fans that went to WrestleCon, and I overheard them saying, I wish they came here more often.
Actually, there is some talk of us coming to North Jersey and working with another promotion up there. But nothing has been solidified as of yet. I do know that after our Cage of Death event, that is going to be a topic for discussion and, you know, run the Rahway, Elizabeth type area and up a little more north to, you know, like exit 14 or something like that. I'm not real sure if that's going to happen as of yet. It was something that has actually been discussed within the last week. This actually came up, so there's still some things that need to be hammered out, but that actually may be a possibility within 2014, early on in the year. So that I can say may happen.
Okay, well,
thanks, DJ.
Anytime, my friend. Anytime.
So, what was it like getting in there? Whether it was four, whether it was six, what was it like getting in there for the first time? On the show, so to say.
I mean, Cage of Death isn't a show. It's not like a regular wrestling show, at least not to me and to a lot of people that are in the business. It's an event. It's something that is very special. And getting to be a part of that for, you know, over 10 years now that, you know, I've been with this company and actually a part of that show, it gets a little surreal. You know, you're used to wrestling in front of the CZW crowds, but now this it turns into something bigger, and it turns into, you know, the eyes of the wrestling world are actually on Combat Zone and Combat Zone alone. And, you know, it's a very stressful environment, but it's also something where, you know, you get in there and you perform and you deliver, and, you know, it's definitely a satisfaction that, you know, can't be measured in this business.
All right. So what's the difference between Because there seem to be a few differences between a normal cage and the cage of death. How would you consider that? How would you quantify that for someone who hasn't seen a cage of death match?
Cage of death is a unique structure. It in detail things. I mean, we've made cages, you know, we use 15 panes of glass. We've used countless barbed wire. There's been things suspended from, you know, the ceiling and walkways. There's been a ring of a million thumbtacks. There's been, you know, tons of big bumps and things like that. There's been cages that have been electrified, you know, to the point that you know, it could almost kill you. You know, we've utilized weapons from light tubes to, you know, weed whackers to air. I mean, you name it. Anything you can possibly put into a cage can be that way. And the structure is unique. It changes every year. It really follows along with whatever the main storyline that is leading into that is. It uses elements of that. Last year's Cage of Death 14, the cage was, it was a Shattered Dreams. You know, myself and Matt Tremont main event that show. And, you know, Matt Tremont, his dream was to main event a Cage of Death and to be the man in CZW. And, you know, he got to live his dream. And obviously it was about shattering his dream. And, you know, glass has that effect. You know, it was 15 panes of glass, you know, that were utilized on top of barbed wire and a few other, you know, things that were incorporated into it. You know, it's something you've never seen. It's not just your typical fencing or wire structure. It is something that is dangerous, something that is violent, and something that when an issue has to be settled, it can only be settled inside the cage of death.
Well, let's go back to last year's. You alluded to the fact that it was you and Tremont main eventing that match. You guys had a few throughout the year. You had a few matches. You both had one win against each other. Like you said, you had to settle it in the cage. Now, that match, to the best of your recollection, what was that like? Because, as you said, it was very violent. The 15 panes of glass, as you said. Just your recollection on that match, because we've never had a chance to ask you about it.
As being in the match, I mean, the match started off quite abruptly. Because Larry Legend went out there and decided to do something, you know, to the point that I had to come out and fire him. But that was not something that was planned or expected or, hey, what the hell is Larry doing? At that point, you know, for me being in the match, I go into a mode, you know, of what I have to do and what I have to get done. And, you know, I don't think it really sets in until afterwards. And, you know, I almost died in that match last year. I probably shouldn't have survived that, but I mean, I've almost died in that match a couple of times. You know, over the last couple of years, I've done some things that I probably should have not have walked away from. I took a DVD off the top of the cage through five panes of glass, including a structure onto the floor with Matt Tremont on top of me, landing on me, and I literally could not breathe for 2 minutes plus. Mm-hmm. And it was to the point that you know, I mean, if you go back and watch the DVD, you can see there's people around panicking because I'm hurt, and I'm hurt bad. And, I know it, and I was coughing blood and things, and I thought I basically broke my ribs and that I might have punctured a lung or something like that. A million things run through your head. But, you know, after that 2 minutes, the air came back into my lungs, and I went, and, you know, and then we finished the match. And, you know, I was fine. It was a scary moment. You know, you're thinking a lot of things. You know, you don't want to get hurt. You don't want to die. You know, you're taking these risks that, I mean, it's the cage of death. You could die in this match. I mean, it's very scary, some of the things we do. And, you know, guys like myself, guys like Matt Tremont, you know, who have done these, you know, they got a lot of tactics to force you. You have to, you know, step up to be in this style of the match. It's not something that I recommend people like, yeah, let's do the cage of death. No, I don't recommend that, you know. I strongly think that this is a very unique thing, and it's a very dangerous and deadly thing, and it's something that needs to be taken very serious. But it's also something that's a spectacle. And, you know, you're not going to find anything like this anywhere, you know, in any promotion around the world. There's nothing. It is unique to CZW, and it is a staple. It is our WrestleMania-style main event. it is what everybody's coming to see, and it, you know, it's one of the hottest selling DVDs, you know, in independent wrestling. So, you know, being in that match, it's truly an honor, but it's also a very scary thing.
Yeah, I can believe that. Now, what's going through your mind last year as you climb to that little platform at the top of the cage? What's just going through your mind at that moment?
I'm thinking at that point, what I vaguely remember is I'm bleeding out of my head profusely to the point that I don't know what happened, and then I'm going, I'm going to kill this son of a bitch. So, you know, as I climb up there to, you know, try and hit a maneuver off the top of that, which, I Matt hit a frog splash through a pane of glass on top of me in that match that you know, almost defeated me. And, you know, I'm thinking that when Matt comes up there, I'm also thinking, like, man, I don't want to fall, you know, and like, you know, you're thinking all the things that you would common sense think. As a worker, though, and as, you know, outside of being the character, you know, I'm thinking, all right, here's what we got to do, and, you know, this and this and this. So, excuse me. You know, there's a lot of stuff running through my mind, and you know, at that point when I'm working with someone like Matt, there's a lot on me, you know, and being the owner of the company, there's even more, you know, you have the stress of the show and the stress of making sure everybody else does their job and, you know, making sure everything's taken care of, you know, and then when you get into that match, that's something that, you know, I need to focus on. You know, you have to get yourself in the right frame of mind to be in that ring. And it's just like any other match, you know, you need some time to go out there and go, okay, I got to be, you know, I got to do this. This is what I got to do. I'm walking into this element, you know. I've been here before, you know. I've been in the dance. It's something that, you know, you really have to get yourself up emotionally and mentally for.
Now, this year's Cage of Death takes place in a little over a week. It's Saturday, December 14th. Bell time is 7:30 at the Flyers Skate Zone. Now, this year's Cage of Death, it's a little bit different than last year's. Last year it was one-on-one. This time you have a 3-on-4 match. The Nation of Intoxication taking on Drew Blood, Matt Tremont, Ron Mathis, and Roy Mondo. Each one of these guys have a different story with the other. Very violent situation. How do you see this one breaking down?
Well, I mean, if you look at Cage of Death Pass, you know, on with the Nation of Intoxication, you have Devin Moore and you have Danny Abbott, two guys that have won the Cage of Death. You know, Devin has won it twice. You know, Danny Havoc is your current reigning and defending Tournament of Death champion. You know, Devin Moore he's won a King of the Death match, you know, in IWA Mid-South. I mean, these men have accomplished a lot, you know, along with Lucky 13, who is their protege. Now, obviously, they're also down 4-3 here, you know, and I'm sure that, you know, they're going around to make sure somebody gets their back. And they have a lot of friends. They have a lot of friends that have done this style of match, so you never know who's going to show up. You know, on the other side, you know, you have emotional experience with guys. And, you know, I mean, Roy Mondo, a guy who has been at CZW for quite a long time, he's never won a match in CZW. You know, he feels that Danny Havoc tried to kill him at Tournament of Death, you know, and that Danny Havoc took some liberties on him. And, you know, to the point that hey, you know, you try to end my life, I'm going to end yours first. And he's made this very personal. You know, to the point that Rory is literally, you know, I mean, if you just read his Facebook, he's losing his mind. You know, this match is everything to him. His rise to stardom as of recent has literally become out of this. You know, you have a guy like Drew Blood, who Devin Moore, that was his running buddy. You know, that was his best friend. Devin wrestled him at our Home Sweet Home show, you know, and retired Drew Blood from active competition. You know, and Drew came back as a professional referee. You know, and worked his way into the situation, and now, you know, his best friend, Devin Moore, he feels has turned on him, you know, and literally it's like, why are you hanging out with these guys? You're supposed to be my boy. And Drew is a master manipulator. He's very intelligent, very smart. He knows how to talk. He knows how to convince people, you know, what to get done what he wants done, you know. And then you have Ron Mathis. Ron Mathis is a guy who he's kind of lost in the shuffle here. He's a guy that, you know, he got a spot in the combat zone, you know, got an opportunity. He's just trying to show that he's there. And, you know, Drew has manipulated him. And you know what? He's drinking the Kool-Aid. And you know what? It's paying off for him because he's getting booked on shows. He's performing very well. And he's defeating guys like Danny Havoc and Devin Moore, who are top guys in our business. And then you have the wild card on their team and probably, you know, the most ultraviolet man in TVW and a guy who over the last year has had many a hardship with, he had a hepatitis scare. You know, he has pancreatitis, which is a disease to his liver, which, affected him having that hepatitis scare. You know, he's won all kinds of deathmatch tournaments. I mean, he's the bulldozer of Matt Tremont, recently he's turned his back on the fans and, Danny Havoc and Devin Moore, who were two of his closest friends, to side with Drew Blood, who, throughout all this has been there for him. And, I think Matt has a lot of resentment and a lot of build-up cusps of the things that are going on, and that's kind of where, the situation sits. I think Matt, he beat EJ Hyde in the Cage of Death, and that's no feat. Defeating me is not an easy thing. I'm a 6'4", 280-pound man that has accomplished many, many things, not just in CZW, around the world. And, it's one of those scenarios that you just never know what's going to happen. And Matt could be the deciding factor in that. And I think that's why, Drew Blood has surrounded himself with these guys. And, it all revolves around that and Roy Mondo's hatred for Danny Havoc.
Okay. Now, I do have a question. This comes from Twitter, and it's @IrishLife1. And he says, being that you have faced and lost to Tremont, CZW, inside Cage of Death, do you see him bulldozing over Nation of Intoxication?
Matt did defeat me, but one thing could have changed the outcome of that match. I had, at any time I had, Matt, I could have beat Matt. So it's quite possible that, that Matt is not going to bulldoze them. They have Danny Havoc. He is a Tournament of Death champion, multiple-time Tournament of Death champion. Devin Moore has won more Cage of Death than anybody in history. It's one of those things where you just don't know. Does Matt have the ability? Yes. I mean, I've hit that kid and beat that kid and done things to him, and he just keeps coming. He just keeps running over guys, and you never know, what's going to happen with that scenario. You never know how violent he is. You've just now seen his dark side, that emotion that's been built up inside him. It just happened that night of infamy, and it's very recent and very clear. And now, you're going to see a new side of Matt Tremont that I myself have never seen. I've never seen his hatred for people. Matt typically, anybody knows him, he's the bulldozer, he's Matt Tremont, he's all happy all the time, and, very lovable, nice dude, everywhere. Not just in CZW, everywhere. On Point Wrestling, IWA Deep South, everywhere he goes, he's a great guy. Now he's turning into something that, he's not. He's not that great guy. And if you look at what he's done, he recently won the Carnage Cup, defeating his partner, Ron Mathis, in the finals. That's a feat in itself. You never know how violent and how deep he will go, and that's something that can be scary. But then again, on the flip side, you have Danny Havoc, who's just, Danny Havoc, I beat that kid senseless too, it's literally identical paths, with those guys and me. And Danny has accomplished a lot, many, many international tours, multiple-time Tournament of Death champion, Ultravon Underground champion, CCW Junior Heavyweight champion, Tag Team champion. I mean, he's accomplished a lot, and so is Devin Moore in Lucky 13. So, you've got some very, very unpredictable tendencies in that match, so we'll see how well they do.
Now, another thing, I'm looking at the card here, and there's two matches that really stand out for me. The first one is Drew Gulak is taking on Chris Hero. Chris Hero is just back from Florida, so this is huge. What went into getting him? I know he's a CZW veteran. He's been there in the past. But what went into getting him back? Was it easy? Was it difficult? Or was he ready and willing to come back?
To be honest, it was beyond easy. About a week before the news hit, Chris Hero called me. and said, DJ, I need to talk to you. I want to talk to you about something. And I was like, oh, you know, I haven't talked to Chris in a while. You know, I get to talk to him from time to time. And I said, what's up? He goes, well, I'm getting released by World Wrestling Entertainment, and I want to come back to CZW. CZW was my home, and, you know, this is the place where I want to prove myself. And I said to Chris, I was like, well, you know, I got Cage of Death coming up. You know, I'm sure I can find something. And he said, well, I got an idea. And I said, what's that? He goes, what's Drew Gulak doing? I said, well, Drew Gulak is CZW world champion. You know, and I said it kind of jokingly. He said, he goes, DJ, I'm taking on, I want to take on, you know, Drew Gulak. You know, and you know, he literally convinced me to put him in that match and to give him that opportunity. Now, Chris has accomplished, I mean, multiple things, not just in the combat zone, but all across the globe. You know, and there's a huge backstory, you know, why I am the original trainer of Drew Gulak, and I've taught him, but Chris Hero is one of his trainers, too. Chris has taught him a lot in this business. You know, he was his mentor, and, you know, I think Chris is looking at this as like, okay, I'm going to wrestle Drew Gulak. I'm going to become the new CZW world champion. I'm going to make my mark in independent wrestling and be the guy that's leading in the forefront of our business. And, you know, I think at this point, Hero knows that. You know, he's been around long enough that knows CZW is the guy that really, not the guy, the company that really took him to the next level. It's where he really became a superstar, blew up. You know, he came in and was the savior of CZW. You know, and then he became the king of wrestling. And you know, and then went on, obviously, to being that young knockout kid and moved down to Florida. Excuse me. But now he has to make his mark, and he wants to do it in the combat zone ring where it all started for him and all was, you know, a big deal. Now, on the flip side of that, you have Drew Gulak now. Drew Gulak was all about wrestling Chris Hero. Drew Gulak has been on fire over the last year, you know, not just in CZW, but all around the globe. You know, he's recently, you know, competed in the World Triangle League. You know, he's done multiple things in multiple companies and now is the current reigning and defending CZW champion. And he has knocked off some pretty hefty competition. One, defeating Masada, who is the second longest reigning CZW champion in history, also at that point was undefeated for over 2 years. You know, mm-hmm. You have him now, you know, he's also defeated Chris Dickinson, who is now a superstar in our business. Tough, crazy, dynamic individual who's literally blowing up the indie scene. And then just last month, he defeated Chuck Taylor, who is one of the top independent talents in our business. You know, I think Drew knows in the back of his head that if I find a way to beat Chris Hero, you know, I will solidify myself as being the man. I am the king of the mountain. I am the CZW world champion, and nobody can question me. I am the best in the world, you know, and I think that's important to Drew, you know, because, I mean, he's trying to build a better combat zone, you know. I mean, inside and out, you know, think what you want if that's a character or not. Drew's all about making CZW better. You know, whether it's him here, you know, helping me train people in the CZW Wrestling Academy, or whether it's him in the ring, or whether it's him out in his, you know, his regular life. You know, he's always trying to push CZW. He's always trying to, you know, make this a better place for people, you know, and everything else. And he's also out to prove that, you know, wrestling, you know, is you know, is amazing and fun, and that this is the place to be. You know, he's the guy who is our, you know, our poster child right now. You know, and that's important to anybody in wrestling, you know, and I don't think he wants to lose that. He's just got a little taste of it right now, you know, and I think beating someone of the caliber of Chris Hero and knowing what this match truly means in CZW, but not even just CZW, all around the wrestling universe, is important to Drew, and I think it will solidify him as being the best wrestler on the independent scene.
All right, my next question deals with an interesting match that kind of came together at the last moment, so to speak, and that is Greg Excellent taking on $5 Wrestling's Freight Train. Now,
champion.
How did that all come together?
Well, followers of the Combat Zone know that Greg Excellent has been embroidered in a heated affair with Pepper Parks and Cherry Bomb over recent months, where, you know, it has come to this. The match was originally announced that Pepper Parks would take on Greg Excellent, with a stipulation of that if Pepper Parks defeated Greg Excellence, Greg would have to conform to Pepper and Cherry's way of life, which would mean Greg would have to, you know, start working out and dieting and shave his body and tan and not be, basically be Greg Excellence, you know. And, you know, it's one of those scenarios where that would have happened. Now, if Greg were to defeat Pepper Parks, Pepper Parks would have to allow Cherry Bomb to leave his side and become Greg Excellence's valet. Now, at this point, fans that don't know a lot about Pepper and Cherry, they're both fitness people outside of wrestling. And not only are they two of the best wrestlers in the world, but they live the gimmick, you know. And Pepper Parks, I should say, was pulled away. He's a DDP yoga instructor, you know, kind of like Stevie Richards is now. You know, he's teaching a very large class out in California, and, you know, it's a very good opportunity for him. So what they did is, you know, they went out and got a guy in the Freight Train. Now, obviously, you know, when we decided to bring Freight Train in, this match is obviously going to be very entertaining. But if you look at the dynamic of it, Greg Excellent is the only member of the CZW roster who has been here for multiple Cage of Deaths that is undefeated. He's never lost a Cage of Deaths. He's also always had his mother here at Cage of Death by his side, who will, again, be making her Cage of Death appearance in Greg Excellent's corner. You know, now with Pepper Parks and Cherry Bomb, they went out and got the Freight Train. Now, the Freight Train is the $5 wrestling champion. That's what he's most predominantly known as. But what people don't know is that the Freight Train is undefeated, period. He's never lost. He's never tasted defeat. He's been the $5 wrestling champion since the company had a champion. He's the man, you know. And, you know, he's also a very large man who can, you know, match size and things like that with Greg. Now, obviously, we're looking at a very comedical match. This is their style. They're two of the most entertaining, you know, guys in our business. And I also think that with Greg's mom in Greg's corner and Cherry in Freight Change's corner, it makes a very interesting dynamic. You never know what's going to happen. You know, Debbie Valance, she's pushing 60, you know what I'm saying? But, man, last year she wrestled Kimberly and Drew Gulak at Cage of Death. You know, she's been in the ring with Colt Cabana, you know? It's things along those lines of where, you know, the 60-something-year-old woman has got in there and thrown down with, you know, Kimberly, who's, a 23-year-old girl, who's, you know, at the top of her game and rising up the independents like nobody else right now. And, you know, that speaks volumes. But then again, Cherry Bomb, who you're going to get to see on Impact Wrestling here in the next week or so, because she is debuting for Impact Wrestling. You know, I mean, she's one of the top girls in our business. Not only is she sexy, but she's talented and dangerous. You know, her BSE super kick is one of the best in the business. It's literally, you know, one thing she can take you out in seconds. It comes out of nowhere. And you never know what's going to happen in that dynamic, you know. And I mean, God knows what they're going to do. That match is probably going to be one of the most entertaining, fun things I've seen in years.
Being that Cage of Death is a different show compared to any other show you guys put on, is the show treated any differently backstage? Do you have to sign a waiver? Do you have to sign a special contract? Anything like that going on, or is it treated like any other show?
I mean, it's not treated like any other show, but Combat Zone Wrestling is Combat Zone Wrestling LLC. I mean, going into 2014, there will be a lot of changes made within the company to where, you know, people will be contracted full-time, and there are some things that go along with that, but there's really nothing that, you know, it's business as normal. It's just it's not a show, it's an event. It's something that's special. It's these guys are, you know, it's compared to WrestleMania. It's not another pay-per-view. It's not another Monday Night Raw, or it's not another show. It's not cerebral. This is Cage of Death. When it comes to independent wrestling, this is an event that is known worldwide, that people fly in from all over the world. You know, that people come to see, and you know, they literally are spending their time. And you know, you're going to have a big crowd, or at least I hope there's a big crowd. But traditionally there has been. And this is the show that you want to bring your A game. The wrestling world watches Cage of Death. From everybody on the independent level to everybody at World Wrestling Entertainment to everybody in Japan, England, Europe, Mexico, Canada, you name it, people are watching. And they're reporting on it. And, you know, you have guys like such as yourself doing interviews with people like me. You know, things like this pick up this time of year because it's Cage of Death. Everybody wants to know. Everybody wants to see what's going to happen. Everybody wants to know what surprises are in store. does this happen, does that happen, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, it's similar, you know, I compare it to WrestleMania, but there's not an event like this anywhere. You know, there's not a match like the Cage of Death. There's not an event where you're going to get to come in and you're going to get to see, you know, that crazy hardcore death match, that funny, comedical, you know, match. You're going to get to see great, sexy, talented women wrestle, who can wrestle. You're also going to get to see, you know, some of the best high flyers in our business. You're going to see a great storyline match. You're going to see a hard-hitting match, you know. You're going to get pretty much everything. And then you got that great technical encounter with guys like Gulak and Hero. You know, the best people in our business are all in this company. And, you know, there's a lot of guys on the short list, not to discredit some other people out there, but you're going to get to see, you know, some of the top talent around the world.
All right. And I do want to. Are you back with us, DJ?
Yeah, I can hear you. I can barely hear you. You cut out for a second. Sorry, though.
Okay. I just wanted to ask you about your match. You're part of an intergender six-person tag. Now it's Ohio for Killers taking on yourself, Susio, and Bill. Not Bill.
Biff Busick.
Yeah, Biff Busick. So what's going on here? What are you trying to end with this match? Because you guys have had
basically this program or feud with me and OI4K didn't start with Jake Dave and Neve. It started with Tim Callahan, which has been going on for a little over a year now. I mean, well, me and Sammy's been going on for a little over 5 years, but this program with them has been going on for a little over a year. You know, me and Sammy have, you know, beaten the crap out of each other all over the globe, you know, for a better part of his career and a better part of mine. We're synonymous with this, and, you know, it's those things that just started this thing. All right? You know, and when Sammy left for World Wrestling Entertainment, he, you know, I think his little buddies and his little cronies, you know, they decided to poke some fun at the boss, and you don't anger the boss, you know, and that's something they should take lightly. And they literally came out there and made a mockery out of me. You know, I'm not a fan favorite, nor do I really care, you know. I don't really care what the fans think, you know. It's my way or the highway. And, you know, these guys are loved, and they want to, you know, play into the fans and tell them, hey, listen, this is this, you know. And obviously, you know, I am a very large man, a very dangerous man, but I can't fend off three people at a time, so I've brought in the front. You know, I have now defeated, you know, OI4K. I have had them punished a number of times, and they have yet to defeat me or anything that I've tried to do. I've beaten Jake Crist in a no-rope barbed wire match in his hometown in front of his daughter, his mother, and his father. I made him bleed, and yet they still try to make a mockery out of me. So now we're going to go in. You know what? I'm going to have my boys, and they're going to have their family. We're going to settle this thing inside the Cage of Death.
Jeez. I don't know how to follow that up. I wanted to ask a question outside of Cage of Death about the company. Do you ever think there'd be a time where you'd want to get back into a weekly or a weekly television program, or do you want to keep it to the iPay-per-view stuff for now?
I want to continue to do the iPay-per-view. I think the iPay-per-view is the future. It's a matter of where eventually, you know, things like DVDs, the DVD market and stuff like that, it's going to disappear. You know, wow. It's kind of like VHSs. You know, they eventually went away. You could actually watch CCW shows on your phone. You can watch them on your tablet or your laptop or anything like that. And I think that's the digital age is really kicking in. So I see iPay-per-view becoming a bigger and bigger market. The downside to it is obviously there are people that pirate it and tour it. And, you know, I mean, I know the government's changing some things, and hopefully in the future that benefits us. But, you know, I definitely think that that's going to be the way to go in the future with pretty much every company.
Wow. I wanted to change gears for just a second. I talked to you privately about this through email. At the last show, you guys, CZW as a company, was taking donations for the WMMR Camp Out for Hunger. I was wondering how that went.
I am looking at, if I walk in the other room, I will look at. There is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. And there are 13 boxes full of canned goods and, you know, perishable items, you know, or I'm not opening the boxes, but I know they're full and I know they're heavy.
Yeah.
So, you know, we did quite well. I mean, on top of that, you know, with Cage to Death, we'll be doing, you know, our annual Toys for Tots drive and fans. Anybody out there, please, please, I beg you to bring, you know, an unwrapped toy, you know, for the Marines to take out of there. And, you know, I every year we've broken a record on what we've donated to them, and I hope to do the same this year.
Now, I understand, I believe it's either tomorrow or Friday that CZW is going to make an appearance at the camp out. Is this going to be a place for people to meet the wrestlers that are dropping off food, or is it just a drop-off?
There are some of the wrestlers that will be dropping off food there. I know CZW World Champion Drew Gulak will be there, along with some of the other members of the campaign. There are a few other stars that do plan on attending. Unfortunately, I will not be there because I am leaving tomorrow for Los Angeles to wrestle CZW member Drake Younger at Wrestling Cares. And, you know, I will be going out there this weekend, you know, with some of the top talent in our business to compete in the Wrestling Cares tournament. But, yes, you will get to see some of the stars at the MMR thing.
And that's at Xfinity Live. So anybody listening who wants to, who haven't been able to mingle with the wrestlers before, get up there tomorrow morning.
All right. Now, one last thing to wrap it all up. Right around Tournament of Death, we created a little thing. I'm not sure if you heard it. I doubt you heard it. But it, we entitled it Field of Blood. And what we did, we kind of incorporated Field of Dreams with Tournament of Death. So I want to play this for you, and I want to get your thoughts on what we did there for it. This takes about 2.5 minutes.
If you build it, he will come.
People will come, DJ. They'll come to Delaware for reasons they can't fathom. They'll turn into your long driveway, not knowing for sure why they're doing it. They'll arrive at your door as innocent as children, longing for the past. Of course we won't mind if you look around, you'll say. It's only $10 per person. And they'll pass over the money without thinking about it. For it is money they have and peace they lack. And they'll walk off to the bleachers, and they'll sit in their short sleeves in the perfect afternoon, and find they've reserved seats somewhere along the ringside, where they sat when they were even younger, and cheer for their heroes, and they'll watch the matches, and it'll be as though they dip themselves in magic blood. The memories will be so thick, they'll have to brush them away from their faces. People will come, DJ. The one constant through all the years, DJ, has been professional wrestling. America has rolled by like an army of steamrollers. It has been erased like a blackboard, rebuilt and raced again, but wrestling has mocked the time. This farm, this ring, is part of our past, DJ. It reminds us of all that once was good, and that could be again. Oh, people will come, DJ. People will most definitely come.
So that was our promo, if you will, for Tournament of Death. What are your thoughts on hearing that as we incorporated Field of Dreams?
I think that's quite an awesome promo, although you got to get some things right. But tickets for TOD are $25. You know, I actually like that concept. I actually would love to see a video of that made. That would be great. I would love to. That would be... Whoever that guy is talking was pretty awesome. I actually thought that was a great thing. You know, we like to refer to Tournament of Death as like the Woodstock of of deathmatch wrestling because it's held out on the farm, and you know it's one of those things. But that was awesome. That was remind me come like February when we announced the Tournament of Death date, and the guys that are coming. For somebody to put that together for CZW, because you remind me of that, I'd love to have that up on our website as a, you know, as a video or something. So, that would be great. So I thought it was quite awesome. Well, you got to get some facts straight. It ain't $10, $25. And blood tests cost a lot of money. So
we will definitely fix that because I don't want the wrong information getting out there.
Yeah, just we'll ask. I'll send it to you guys.
Yeah, definitely. But DJ, there you go. Cage of Death coming up on the 14th, and it's going to be an amazing show. Just your thoughts leading into it, and then I'll let you get back to what you got to do.
Well, I mean, my thoughts are I can't wait. I mean, I'm literally, this is an event that I look forward to. This is the next best thing to Christmas for a lot of guys in TCW. It's, you know, I mean, just an example of that, there's 27 people at training tonight, you know, and
wow.
It's not just our regular students. It's, you know, you got Masada here, you got Christina Von Erich down here, you got, you know, Joe Gacy. There's a lot of people here tonight that CZW, they're preparing, they're working hard, you know, they're putting in the extra time in the ring, you know. And this whole week has been like this, where, you know, it's a different group every day, you know. Yesterday it was, you know, Drew Gulak and the Black G's, and, you know, all those guys are here. Today you have Masada and Von Erich and Gacy, and, you know, tomorrow it's going to be somebody else. And it's just, it's a true testament to what, you know, the men and women are going to do at the cage. But I can tell fans, you know, a couple things that you might not know is there is a Q&A. Our doors open, and they're planning on opening at 3:30. Q&A starts at 4. You know, it is absolutely free with your purchase of tickets. So if you want to ask me a question, Chris Hero, Drew Gulak, you know, Danny Havoc, whoever, you know, they're all going to be there. Also, if you want to get, you know, yeah, this is my cheap plugs, by the way. Also, if you want to get, you know, all your, you know, CZW merchandise on top of our other vendors with RF Video, Smart Mark Video, and HighSpots.com. And there's actually going to be a ton of other people there, you know, selling merchandise, gimmicks, tees, I know is going to be in the house, you know, and some other people doing interviews and things. So, you know, you get all that stuff early, get that, you know, as soon as you possibly can. Get your Christmas shopping for your favorite wrestling fan done. Definitely check out the CZW Pro Shop. There's going to be some new items out there. You know, we'll have a very limited run of the CZW track jackets, which, you know, are one of the hottest sellers. Or you can just check out everything at randomthings.co. It's randomthings.co, not .com. You know, go to czwrestling.com. You can get on our VOD site. You know, support us. Check out czwippv.com. Or if you can't be at Skate Zone on the 14th and you want to watch it, czwippv.com. The pre-sale is up right now. The show is $14.99. Definitely want to get that. It's definitely something you're going to want to see if you're a wrestling fan. You know, and follow us on Twitter at Combat Zone or Official Combat Zone on Facebook.
All right. Thank you, DJ. I want to thank you for your time. I know it's a busy time of the year for you, but it's always a pleasure to have you on, sir.
It's a pleasure being on, guys. I appreciate it.
Okay, you have a good night now.
I hate you. You make me sick. You've left your pain. I live with it.
Actually, I should say our guest at this time, Dan. Our guest at this time is, of course, the Bulldozer, Matt Tremont. Matt, how are you doing tonight?
Dan, it's good to hear your voices.
It's good to hear your voice as well, Matt. I am a little persnickety with you.
Persnickety.
I'm a little upset. We'll get to that in a little bit later on as we talk about Cage of Death coming up a little bit later on. But what I want to go into first is... we haven't talked to you in a little while. The first thing I'm going to talk about is, of course, On Point Wrestling. You took on Joey Janela at the last show, and that gave you the next match. You finally get Eddie Kingston, the last of a dying breed. First of all, the match with Joey Janela, how'd it go, and your thoughts on Eddie Kingston?
Well, as the show title named itself, Fight to Survive, I indeed fought to survive back on November 23rd, and I got the job done. The liaison of the Old Point Brood, they wanted Janelle to take me out, and he couldn't get it done. I was victorious, and now on January 4th, Old Point Wrestling goes to Sport Some More in Surrey, New Jersey, on our one-year anniversary show as we plan to destroy everything, and I have one of my dream matches against the guy I've looked up to, you know, since I've been this big, and in the last of a dying breed, Eddie Kingston, who's one of the best in the business, and it's a dream match for me on January 4th, and you know, besides training hard for the Cage of Death, you know, I'm looking forward to that one too. I got a lot of big things on the horizon come the new year.
Now let's talk a little bit more about Kingston here. Anybody who's seen your shoot video that came out with Smart Mark Video knows that Eddie Kingston had a very large impact on your life. Just talk briefly about what Eddie Kingston means to you as a developing wrestler in the ring.
Well, I think, especially when I was on the other side of the guardrail, going to CZW shows growing up, obviously besides Nick Gage, Eddie Kingston was one of those performers and characters inside the ring, you know, that, you know, I became emotionally invested in, and his character and how he, you know, portrayed his character and how his mannerisms and facials and how he worked and his style of cutting promos and just everything about him was raw and real, and I could connect to that instantaneously. And he was one of my favorites from the get-go. And, you know, when I paid my $12 to go see CZW years ago, you know, I always got my money's worth. And when Kingston was on the card, you know, I knew I would, you know, get my $20 worth. And I always look forward to his matches. His matches with Chris Hero and that whole angle they had there for years, you know, came off raw and real. And it was something I always enjoyed watching. And on January 4th, to be able to go in there and step in the ring with him and be able to, you know, wrestle, which I don't get to do a lot often, I'm really looking forward to. And, you know, he's the last of a dying breed for a reason. He's one of the best in the business. And January 4th, 2014, can't be circled any bigger on my calendar.
I mean, when you going into that match, I mean, are you consciously, you know, going into another gear or approaching it like anything else?
Just like anything else. But I think this is a big opportunity for me because, like I said, I don't get the opportunity to work or wrestle as much as I do because, you know, hardcore is my bread and butter, and it's, you know, it's what pays the bills and it's what I get booked for. It's what I'm good at. It's what I excel at. But when I get the opportunity to wrestle with one of the best workers and wrestlers in the business, you know, I have to put my big boy pants on that day and prove to myself, prove to him, and prove to an audience that not only Matt Tremont, you know, he can bleed everywhere he goes, but he can work as well.
When you're going into a match that you're going to work, as you say, versus an ultraviolet kind of thing, can you mentally go to the same place, or do you have to concentrate on not going into the bulldozers so much?
I think it's all the same mentality because whether it's a death match or non-death match, it's still that same zone. It's still me, you know, going through that curtain and becoming the bulldozer. It's not a real different separation in mental capacity, you know, going into a non-death match. It's all pretty much the same for me. And obviously, I'm just not getting hit in the head with shit.
Yeah, nice change.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Now, talking about getting hit in the head with shit, you you won the IWA Deep South Carnage Cup, and I'm going to go round by round with you. Now, the first round was entitled a Smash Boom Pow match. Now, first of all, what the hell is a Smash Boom Pow match?
The title of the match itself is more of a tribute to J.C. Bailey. Bam was always like his credible trademark. So the match is always kind of like a tribute to the late, great J.C. Bailey. Other than that, it's exactly what it says, Smash Pow Bam. You're getting hit. It's kind of like when Batman would punch a guy and all those things would pop up when he would punch somebody and get hit with something. just a lot of... lot of weapons, and you're getting hit with a lot of stuff. But the first round, I was able to go against a ring veteran and a guy named Tank, wrestled for NWA Wild Tide for a long time, so I was well aware of his credentials going into that match, and I looked forward to it a lot. And there was another guy I watched growing up, because Wild Tide used to come on TV 48 years ago at, you know, 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, and I used to stay up and record them shows, so I was well aware of Tank, so I really look forward to that one, and being able to step in there and, you know, and be victorious over him. It was pretty cool, and another, you know, notch on my belt.
All right. Now, the second round was a broken glass, thumbtacks, and Lego. Now, if broken glass and thumbtacks wasn't enough, we had to throw in the Legos. And you took on Scotty, took on Scotty Danger. How did that go?
Yeah. A lot of people got hurt in the first night. Carnage Cup is notoriously known as one of the most dangerous and sickest deathmatch tournaments, and a few individuals got hurt on night one, so my second round opponent changed quite a few times throughout the course of day two. I wound up facing, I think it's Scotty Danger or Ganger. His, I'm not sure what his name exactly was, but that kept changing as well, because people didn't know his name. But and that was his first, besides his first round match he had with Mathis, that, you know, it was I guess, popping the cherry death matches was with me. Broken glass, thumbtacks, and like I said, those goddamn Legos, they hurt. But he held his own. You know, I was victorious because I wasn't going to let anybody stop me on my path to get to the finals and win the thing overall.
Matt, is there really a difference physically between getting slammed on some thumbtacks and Lego or getting slammed on some Legos?
It all hurts. It's all dangerous. It's all things a normal human being doesn't do on a Sunday morning.
Well, the thing to me, when I heard a Lego match, of course, the first time I heard of this was with Addie Starr. She enjoys the Lego matches. Now, when I was thinking in my head, I thought people were constructing Legos in the ring, kind of like an arm wrestling match, but instead of the arm wrestling, I thought they were constructing different city montages, but perhaps not. Now, the final match was a no-ropes...
building competition?
Well, yeah, Lego building competition. That's what I thought. I was like, what the hell's going on?
Until now.
Next to come is a Lincoln Log Death match. I hope that happens sometime in the future.
Yes. Now, the final was a no ropes, barbed wire, bricks, and light tubes. It was a four-way elimination. You came out on top. You win the Carnage Cup. You also happen to use a weed whacker, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, Ken Dunn and myself, Ron Mathis, who's one of my Cage of Death partners, J.D. Hall from California, from Mexico, and Brian Woods. And it was definitely a sick final. A lot of barbed wire, a lot of bricks, a lot of light tubes, and of course, like you said, the weed whacker. That was the first time I came encounter with a weed whacker. I didn't get hit with it, but unfortunately, I had to do what I had to do to get the job done, to get the trophy. So J.D. Hall wound up tasting, feels like, from the bulldozer. But he's a sick SOB, and I still couldn't keep him down after that to get the 1-2-3. So I hit him with the weed whacker. He winds up trying to escape from me, climbs up the balcony. I chase him, and we wind up coming off the top of the balcony. I give him the Death Valley Driver, as I did the DJ a year prior in last year's cage, through tables and light tubes, 1-2-3, and I wound up capturing my second deathmatch tournament trophy. So it was all was an awesome weekend, and, another trophy under my belt, and out of the major four deathmatch tournaments that are in the United States, I got two of them now, and I got two more to go.
Matt, I'm gonna word this next question like this, and obviously we don't have to tell anybody the hell you've put yourself through in your years in wrestling, but you're doing this deathmatch tournament, you're doing your fifth match, and it's like the third iteration of a hardcore match. Does it even matter at that point when you're going into the ring?
For the course of 2 days, you take so much punishment and, you know, physical and mental, you know, anguish and torment you put your body through. But you have to keep going through it, and you have to endure as much as you can in order to come home with the trophy. And, I put out a video 2 weeks prior. You know, I was making the 15-hour trip, you know, driving from New Jersey all the way to, you know, Terre Haute, Tennessee, and I was going to win it for Mama Bulldozer, and then that's just what I did.
Was Mama Bulldozer proud of the trophy?
She's not a fan of what her son does on the weekends, but she was very happy. I gave her a nice little shout out, but it was pretty cool.
I still don't know how you do it, Matt. I don't know.
So we got the trophy under your belt. Then this past weekend you were back. It was IWA Mid-South this time. You were involved in a three-way, Corporal Robinson and Ox Harley. You came out victorious yet again.
Yeah, Mid-South is always fun. I always think all the IWA affiliate promotions are always a home away from home for me. They've treated me very well. The IWA East Coast Master of Pain last year, and Ian Rotten and Mid-South have always supported me. And, when they run, you know, Tremont's always there. And going down there is always exciting because I was always a Mid-South fan and an Ian Rotten fan growing up. And I always enjoyed going down there. They have a very passionate and loyal fan base. And when I went down there on Friday, there was probably only about 5 to 6 inches of snow and a sheet of ice already on the ground. And they had a stack card. And since IWA's been back, the previous two shows, they drew 500 people plus. And it's a shame that due to the storm, they weren't able to draw as much. But about 100 people still came out and dealt with the storm and still supported IWA last Friday and came out to see a hell of a show that had Chris Hero on the card, Ricochet, John Gresham, and then myself, and Oxford and Quibble Robinson, two guys that are, you know, IWA mainstays, went out there and killed each other with light tubes, and in the end, they were victorious once again. So the last month and a half, I've been in a roll. I feel like I've got my feet wet, you know, after a long year of trials and tribulations, as I like to say. The end of the year has actually turned out pretty well, and I'm hopefully look forward to keep that momentum going into the cage and going into the new year.
Yeah, Matt, we brought this up a little bit earlier with the talking about the Sellies. You keep saying you have a down year. I think you're out of your mind, and I mean that with all due respect. Because except for maybe 2 or 3 weeks where you weren't really sure what the deal was, you've had a pretty awesome effing year, dude.
Yeah, I mean, besides, you know, I look at the year, and it was definitely a learning experience, and with all that went down, I took it all in, and after a while, I told myself not to get down, and I just, you know, took with what I had, and still always gave 110%, but besides, you know, whatever, you know, went down with CZW this year, I still had the opportunity to, debut for a lot of top companies this year. I made my way out to AIW for Cleveland, and they're really one of the top feds out there today. You know, Interspecies Wrestling, and, you know, Drake Younger and Necro told me, you know, you make it in this business kid when somebody else flies you out on your own dime. And I had the opportunity to fly a lot of places this year and make money doing what I love to do, and not a lot of people can say that.
No, Matt, not even the CCW stuff. You're still one of the tops in the games. I mean, I think you're being, and this is a shoot here, I really think you're being a little harder on yourself with having the bad year, man. I think you're being a little rough on yourself physically and mentally. I think you're doing fine.
I agree at times. I definitely think I was at times because last year I was standing on top of the Cage of Death and I had a lot of momentum, and then the company and its fan base seemed to forget about me throughout the year. I mean, I said it a few times, I was never content when I became complacent. And the fans knew I became complacent, but they still supported and cheered me. But it never was the same. I don't know what happened, because I continued, whatever CZW gave me, I went out there and did what I did. But at motivation, I had to take things in a matter of my own hands so I could get myself into the Cage of Death with some help of the mastermind himself, Drew Blood.
Well, there we go. Drew Blood, Cage of Death. We're going to talk about that in a minute.
Yeah.
First thing I want to say, still talking about IWA Mid-South, we're gonna move on to Cage of Death in just a minute, but IWA Mid-South, now, the promoter there is Ian Rotten. This is a guy that this is a guy that you watched in ECW years ago as a kid, really, through videotape, through the show that was on at the time. What's it like? At this point, he's like one of your bosses, so to say.
I you know, growing up watching hardcore wrestling, I mean, if people don't recognize what Ian and Axel did in 95 and their summer series of matches they had, the barbed wire bat matches, the Tate death match, they innovated a lot of stuff in the early ECW days. And, you know, it locked my eyes on the record, dude. And I was always an Ian fan. And people can say what they want about Ian and Mid-South and, you know, sometimes his business practices. But, you know, every time I've always been out there, they've always taken care of me. Like I said, I always enjoy going out there and busting my ass for Ian. Because it's another guy I watched. You know, and last year I was able to work Ian quite a few times. And, you know, those are memories I'll always have, and they mean something to me. And, you know, IWA, you know, they've been going strong for a long time. And, I always enjoy going out there. And, you know, Ian Ryan's doing a lot, man. People say what you want, but, you know, I call Ian a friend. He's the boss, you know, and I've always looked up to him and always will. And, you know, I like I said, no matter what people say about IWA, they will. But when IWA runs, especially the Midwest area, it's important. And, you know, everybody's going to flock to a show and go see it because they know IWA, you're going to get your money's worth, and they're going to present a product in the show that you're going to enjoy.
I couldn't agree more. Now we're going to change gears. I want to talk first of all about last year's Cage of Death. You were in there. You beat the boss, DJ Hyde.
Mm-hmm.
That was the pinnacle of your career at that time. Just describe the feeling of winning the main event in the Cage of Death,
mm-hmm.
What that meant to you as an individual. At that time, 4 years in the business.
I mean, kids have a lot of dreams, goals, and aspirations, you know, growing up. You know, they want to play baseball, and they want to, you know, hit the home run in the World Series. Well, when I was 15, I wanted to brutally, you know, put my body through physical, you know, torment and perform in front of the most sadistic structure in the business called the Cage of Death. You know, I might have a couple screws loose, but it's what I wanted to do. And last year, I got that opportunity. I earned that opportunity just like everything else I've opportunities I had, I've always earned them. And to be able to go in there last year, main event, the spectacle that is Cage of Death, the biggest independent show of the year, and, you know, it was a dream come true. And, you know, after you know, year and a half program, myself and DJ Hyde had, it was the ultimate payoff, and the fans got what they want, and we gave them a crazy cage last year. It was a lot of fun, and we beat the piss out of each other. And the Cage of Death is, you know, it's the construction of destruction and a lot of other names, and it definitely lives up to its hype every year. And so last year was a lot of fun, and a year and a program and a match, you know, and an event that I'll never forget.
Now, shifting gears, this year we go into Cage of Death. You're one of the most hated individuals on that roster. You turned your back on the fans of CZW, and you joined up with the notorious one, Drew Blood, the master manipulator. Why, Matt? Why did you do it?
If there's anything that people need to know about 2013 and CZW, Drew Blood's the smartest man in the business. He's been putting this thing together since day one. He was a referee. Came back. Had to pay his dues all over again after a company that forgot about him, where he was a performer and a wrestler. He came back on his own this time and has done things all, you know, on his views and his basis, and has been able to bring Mondo and Mathis into the fold, into his mastermind plan to take out Devin Moore, Danny Havoc, and Lucky. And ultimately, you know, see the demise of the nation. You know, guys that were my friends that forgot about me during hard times, in and out of the ring. And I learned eventually how to do what I had to do, and I blessed Danny Havoc with that chair with a lot of intent and with a lot of purpose. And it was a plan in the making, and when everything came to fruition, and when the night was all said and done, I think the plan paid off well. Because in the end, Drew Blood, months and months ago, said, I see what you're going through. I see how this company's handling you, what they've done to you this year. These people forgot about you. et cetera, et cetera. But he's like, I can give you one thing, and if you want to take matters into your own hands, follow the light. And I did. And at the end of the tunnel was a main event inside the Cage of Death. And I'm there now, and this Saturday night, seven men enter, and only one team's going to win, and that's the Forgotten Ones. And we won't be forgotten anymore come Saturday.
Now, earlier in this very interview, you said the fans were behind you the entire time. They had your back, even though you were complacent, even though that you were having, in your mind, a bad year. So why turn your back on them? You called out not only the Nation of Intoxication, you called out the fans. Damn it, tell me why you did it. Why'd you turn your back on the fans?
It is a hard situation because since my inception into the company, I hop that very guardrail where those people sit. I sat in the south side corner for many years watching shows, and I came from the people when I made my debut. But unlike those drunken zombies that sit on their hands each month, you know, I made the transition because I didn't want to be just a fan anymore. I knew I could be the athlete and have the mental and physical capacity to become a professional wrestler. And that's what I did when I hopped the guardrail. I made the transition from just being a peasant fan to a combat zone superstar. And I did say they have always supported me. But at the end of the day, I always did things for them. And doing things for them, look where it got me. It got me nowhere. When I killed myself month in and month out for those people in this company, it got me nowhere this year. So now I'm going to do things for Matt Tremont. And I'm doing that. Because Drew Blood, he made me see the light. And he told me, look, why are you doing these things to yourself for these people? Do it for yourself. Do it for the money. Do it where it means purpose and have cause and reason behind it. So now I'm doing things for the bulldozer. And I think things, as far as CZW goes, anywhere else I go, you know, there's a lot of, I said it in my promo going out to IW and Mid-South, I was looking forward to perform in front of an appreciative fan base that respects what I do month in and month out, unlike the CZW fans, because it looks like they didn't love me too much, because it seems like they hated me pretty quick at Night of Infamy, so I guess I got the job done, and those people can stick it at the end of the day, and quite frankly, as far as the Combat Zone fan base goes, I could really care less. I'm doing things for me now.
Havoc, Moore, Nation of Intoxication, there are no slouches. Did you ever think that maybe you and Drew and the rest of your team maybe bitten off more than they can chew?
Raimondo, Ron Mathis, Drew Blood, they're entering the Cage of Death for the very first time. But if they needed that last piece of the puzzle to go into the cage knowing they're going to be confident. And what better puzzle piece than me? Because not to blow smoke up my ass, but if there's any person that's the most violent and sadistic in this business today, and I think I can say this now, it's me. I know Danny Havoc and Devin Moore. Hell, he's the Iron Man of the Cage of Death. He's been the sole survivor many times in previous CODs. Lucky's been there too, so they do have the experience edge on their side, but they don't have the bulldozer.
Now, I mean, you're outside of, you're friends with these guys. I mean, or at least you were until you turned your back on them and attacked them with chair. I mean, what's going on here? What happens after Cage of Death? You're gonna go have a beer with Devin?
They've been my friends, you know, since day one. If there's two guys that, you know, has always looked out for me and been there since day one that have even helped me get my job in the company, it was Devin Moore and Danny Havoc. But sometimes, you know, over the course of a year and a half, you know, and that Tremont comes in and takes the world by storm and gets opportunities other people doesn't get, sometimes that, you know, that may get other people's skin and might change, you know, change friendships, change relationships. So I guess, you know, their eyes on that Tremont might have changed, and, you know, you don't see them as much anymore, you know. They have their clique, you know. They didn't invite me to be the third man to have a beer with them after a while. But at the end of the day, there's always that third man, and that third man's name was Drew Blood. He's always had my back since day one. And if you're in a little shoot sometimes, you know, sometimes things get hard outside of the room in life, and you need a place to stay, and you need a couch. Drew Blood was there for me. Drew Blood's been there for me more than anybody, and that's a shoot. Not only in the ring, but outside of it. He's had my back, you know, since day one. So I told him, if all things come to fruition and this plan turns out the way it's going to be, I got your back inside the Cage of Death, because he's got it out for Devin Moore, and I have a lot of unfinished business come this Saturday. And quite frankly, I'm going to step into their business as they step into my world, which is the Cage of Death. And it's going to be quite an ultra-violent affair on Saturday night.
Okay, I'm convinced with the Cage of Death. I'm going to move on. I want to figure out something. What happens, win or lose, going forward, what happens to the Bulldozer in CZW? Where do you go from here?
I will say this. We've been training like animals. He's had me out in the snow like Rocky and Mickey. I've been chasing chickens. It's been hell the last few days, so if our training and preparation doesn't pay off on Saturday night, I don't know what's going to happen. But as far as going into the new year, you know, Cage of Death is going to cap off 2013, hopefully on a good note, which I know it will, because I think we are more than well prepared for what carnage and chaos is going to ensue on Saturday. But my goal is going into 2013, you know, I've always given 110%, and whatever this company has always asked of me, I've always done, and, you know, given my all. And I just want to continue to get better at my craft, continue to do what I do month in and month out, and hopefully those opportunities still come. I've never politicked or kissed anybody's ass or asked for anything since day one, since I've been here. I've always earned everything I've had. I feel like sometimes I was one of those last guys that came into the company, you know, that earned their spot and paid their dues. And, you know, I think you can ask the boys in the locker room and they'll say the same sentiments. So 2014 is going to be a different year, and I'm looking forward to it. I'm hoping to work with a lot of different guys, and hope the opportunities are there. And whatever they give me, I was given a ball last year and never dropped it. So I'm going to pick that ball up in my own now, and I'm going to run all the way to the end zone.
Now, my final question, Matt. Before Cage of Death, 4 p.m., there's going to be a Q&A. I want to know how much are you looking forward to interacting with some of the intellectual geniuses that go to the CZW show?
It's going to be hit or miss. It's going to be an interesting afternoon. If you've already paid and reserved your ticket for the event of the year called the Cage of Death, you're going to get in at 4 o'clock and you're going to be able to ask us whatever you want. So by all means, ask whatever you want. But please, I hope the questions are somewhat on an intellectual basis. And, you know, they keep it blunt and they keep it frank. And let's not keep this thing going all day, because quite frankly, 7 men have to get mentally prepared to beat the ever-living shit out of each other just mere hours later after all this. So, take some notes. I hope you have bring a notepad and be prepared. Don't just come in here and bring this thing. You know, we're taking our time out to have a Q&A with you, with the drunken zombies they are. So I hope they're sobered up. And, they're ready to ask us some intellectual questions on somewhat of a relative smart basis. And don't go in there and just ask us why is it called the Cage of Death? To me, that's a pretty dumb question. sharpen the number 2 pencils, bring your fucking recorders, and, try to make an intellectual afternoon out of it. And, we'll see how it goes.
I have heard Captain Dave has been preparing his thesis. This is the moment that Captain Dave has been waiting for, and it's all at Cage of Death.
He's going to bring his own table, a laptop, and a word processor.
I cannot say enough about the great Captain Dave and his journalistic. he's one of the best in the business. If these fans need to take after someone, it's Captain Dave. At least like you said, he'll have a table, he'll have a pen and a pad. At least he's fucking prepared, for Christ's sakes.
That's true.
He's going to have an abacus as well. I don't know why he's going to have an abacus, but Matt...
Hey, Matt, I have a question.
But Matt, I think we've covered all the bases. Cage of Death, your final thoughts as you prepare to take on the Nation of Intoxication this Saturday night.
On an already set card that has a hero returning, an American Wolf coming in, goddamn freight trains coming in, The Cage of Death's card is stacked. And on top of all that, the night is capped off and will be all said and done with the main event. And the main event's the money match. It's the draw. And that's the Cage of Death. When seven men enter, and, well, one team will survive, and that's the Forgotten Ones. And we will give you your money's worth, and you will see there's been a lot of Cage of Deaths. And this is the 15-year anniversary of the Cage of Death. A lot of history and a lot of lineage behind this match. A lot of men have come into this match and not have come out the same and have put their bodies on the line for the entertainment of those drunken zombies on the other side of the guardrail called the CZW fans. But they will get their money's worth, and we will kill ourselves for their ultra-violent enjoyment this Saturday night. And we will arrive at the Skate Zone and live for everyone across the world to watch on CZWIPayperview.com. It is Cage of Death fucking 15. I'm pumped. The Forgotten Ones are pumped. Come Saturday night, we will be not forgotten anymore.
All right, you can follow Matt at TremontZZW on Twitter. Matt, thank you so much for your time. It's going to be quite the event. And I mean, the whole card, top to bottom, there's not a bad match on there. But thank you for your time. I can't wait to see you on Saturday night.
Thank you, fellas.
Guest at this time, it's that notorious one, the master manipulator, the guy who put it all together, Drew Blood. How are you doing tonight, Drew?
I'm doing good, guys. How you doing? Yo, listen, I was about to cancel this interview because I don't know how the hell I'm going to follow American Roughneck, dude. How the hell you put him on before me, dude? There's no way I could follow an interview like that.
I'm sure if you just give it about 4 seconds, you could do it fine.
Yeah, I just lost 4 seconds of my life listening to that.
Oh, stop. He's a lovable little...
Aye.
He's like the Christmas elf that everyone loves. Elf on a shelf. That's American Roughneck in a... Now,
elf on a shelf.
That's just creepy, guys.
Isn't it? Now, Drew...
Like your elf.
Before we move on to Cage of Death, I do want to talk about you're such a manipulator. I think you just hide in the shadows and giggle at your own plots and schemes. Now, at On Point Wrestling, the last show, you're out there, but you're out there in a panda suit in this grand scheme. You even you hug Captain
Dave. What I do on Saturday nights is none of your goddamn business.
That's true, but you're hugging Captain Dave. You're in the panda suit.
He was giving me some googly eyes, dude. I think I found a new friend.
You liked hugging Captain Dave, didn't you?
He likes furries. But more so to the point, you trick Pinky Sanchez, think that the panda's on his side, and then you brutally attack him. And that moves on to destroy everything coming up on January
4th. I'm giving that guy credit. Tricking Pinky Sanchez is not a task. You know, all you got to do is give him a piece of paper and a pencil, and he's distracted.
That is true.
By the way, you just stopped roughneck.
Yeah, you've already topped roughneck. Now, July 4th, you have Pinky Sanchez for the last time. We're finally going to put this what are you going to do to Pinky?
Look, I don't know what Pinky's mindset is for, January 4th at one point, but, he better bring his A game because I'm taking it back to 2009. He has no idea what is in store for him. I'm getting sick and tired of this guy. You know, he's not taking things seriously, in my opinion, and he better think, he's got a rough one coming to him because we have a hell of a card for On Point, and we have to we've been the main stage of On Point for since the inception of the shows, so we gotta step our game up to make even a credible feat to keep up with the rest of the card. So I'm bringing my A game. I don't know about Pinky Sanchez, but and if he doesn't, and I really feel bad for him.
Yeah, but I mean that is really something too. That you touched upon in your answer there. It has been On Point Wrestling. If you go back to all the shows, the one thing that has always been there has been you and Pinky, and finally it comes to an end. So this is really big. Now let's go back to that match, the Best Around, their first match back on the Indies together. They took on highly entertaining wrestlers. Now, what did you think of that match? How did you guys, because you didn't come out victorious, but there was some trouble, there was some outside interference. What did you think of the match, though, with the Best Around?
I've had my history at the Best Around, and they're great competitors in this business. One of the best tag teams that I've ever had the pleasure of wrestling. And for their first time tagging back in, quite a few years, it's like they never missed a beat. I myself was very happy with the match, and like I said, it's always a pleasure wrestling them guys. I was very, very impressed with my tag team partner, Xavier Cross. He stepped his game up, and he proved to a lot of people that, in my opinion, that he can go, and he's going to be a prime player in this business in the years to come.
Well, you kind of stole my thunder on that one. I was going to ask you, No, that's okay. It's you're allowed. You're bigger than me. We'll debate that later. I think Xavier Cross. Well, first of all, I think you're one of the more underrated guys on the independent circuit. But I think Xavier Cross is one of the most underrated guys on the circuit. Do you think?
Absolutely.
Only tagging with him will help his cause as far as making it?
Me tagging with him, it really has nothing to do with Xavier's talent in itself. It's just like, in my opinion, it gives him the edge of getting more noticed, especially with the opportunity of working, bigger names in this business, more credible talent, and when it comes to tag team wrestling, and so far we've met with some challenges, and he's been, I've been giving him A pluses all across the board. He's been doing nothing but delivering every time, and he's nothing but impressed my part, and it has nothing to do with me helping him out. He's been doing it on his own, carrying his end of the deal. He's been carrying his own weight and then some.
Do you feel that the time that you had to take off, that maybe your game had dropped off a little bit, or was it like putting on another pair of shoes?
I questioned my game a little bit, but, it's not that I'm also getting older, guys, But
what are you, 28?
Come on, man. Stop it. What are you trying to pick me up here?
not any more than I was the other night.
I'm going to deal with you. We'll go out to a nice dinner, Dan, okay?
Okay, all right. You're buying.
Bring the panda.
I don't put it out on the first date.
That's okay. Yeah, you know, we'll make things happen. We'll take it in steps.
I'll wear the panda suit.
Oh,
no, but
what the hell was the question?
I don't remember.
He was asking me out.
That's what it seems like. I
wasn't
like
asking him out. I was asking it.
Master manipulator.
Yeah, really. We'll get into that later. I will rephrase the question. Did you get a lot of slack when you came back that you had lost your step from other people, or did you feel at all that you had lost a step?
I didn't get a lot of slack from other people. I feel that, you know, I could be a little more crisp in the ring. You know, I could be a little more quicker because I did drop a few pounds. I think mentally wise, and when it comes to smarts, I think that's been playing a key part in my return. You know, I've chosen to be a little bit more smarter this time around because towards the end of my career, last time I had almost a career threatening injury we've talked about
many
times, and with not being fear of taking risks, just being smarter about taking risks is a key factor. I'm not back. I didn't come back to put myself over. I wanted to help the younger guys, like and Xavier and Tremont are two of my good friends, and they're the guys that I've been willing and without a question would put my body on the line to help elevate their careers. Maddie doesn't need my help these days anymore.
Yeah.
He's probably one of the top indie guys out there right now.
Now, going along with that, a question that I heard you answer last night was who are some of the guys that you see on a regular basis, some of the young talent out there that you think have that it factor?
Well, right now, Oz Tyler has been nothing but impressive as of late, these on-point shows. And to me, the if factor isn't just talent based on itself. It's the way they carry themselves in the locker room, the way they carry themselves around veterans of this business, and how they don't let certain assholes in this business walk all over them. You know, they're very humble. You know, Oz Tyler is a well-rounded individual in this business. He opens his ears, he shuts his mouth. And he takes every piece of advice like a sponge. You know, he's a very humble kid. There's this kid that I worked in Reading, Matt McIntosh. He's only been in the business 2 years, and I was extremely impressed with his ethic and his work rate. Nicholas Kay, part of the front. He's another kid. I think his underrated talent needs exposure. You know, he's a well-rounded individual. He can work.
He had a great match at the last on-point show. Yeah, the last on-point show, he was very impressive.
Yes, he was. he could have had some of his stuff showcased. Well, I think he was held back a little bit, but that's another situation in itself. But Mike Drastic and his tag team partner, Tito Ortiz, we haven't seen them tag yet in on-point wrestling. But their tag team abilities surpass, in my opinion, some of the better tag teams that are in the business right now. We haven't even been blessed to see them tag yet in on-point.
Yeah, I have seen them work in other companies, but I certainly agree with you. I've seen them. They have that the chemistry that a lot of teams sometimes miss. Yeah. Now, moving on, Cage of Death, you have put together quite the team. You've gotten some frustrated young men together, it seems.
Oh, absolutely.
And you've promised a few to...
Testosterone-filled young men ready to explode and kick some motherfucking ass.
But you've... you've gotten these guys, promised them different things. For Rory Mondo, it was you're going to give them Danny Havoc. For Ron Mathis, you're going to book him on the show. What did you promise?
See, my promise was to these guys was to give them the grandest stage of all at CZW. Give them the opportunity that the company has neglected them. No. CZW hasn't been the best company to, you know, let's say, pay attention to the younger talent, and they just, like, you know, overshadow them and just look past them and focus on, you know, other things, like themselves. But these guys have been clawing and fighting, you know, throughout the last year, and they've gone unnoticed. And the main one of all, Matt Tremont, last year was the top star of CZW. And what happened to him after Cage death? What happened? You didn't hear nothing. His 2013, it's like they put him in the basement and forgot all about him. You know, the guy was the savior of the company last year. He beat up DJ Hyde. He did things that nobody wanted to do, and that was take out the boss. Now, of course, it was more on a personal level with him and DJ, but Matt Tremont delivered what he promised to do, and that's take out the Larry DJ Hyde. And the crowd is nothing but, you know, marks for the bulldozer. They forgot about him, too.
Aren't you a little worried that all this frustration and pent-up hostility might work against your team in the cage?
Explain to me how that'll work against me, Dan.
Frustration has worked against me many times. Getting too frustrated and losing focus on the task.
You have guys like Danny Havoc and Devin Moore. Close friends of Matt Tremont. Well, Matt Tremont hasn't had the best year. You know, he hasn't had the support. And them two guys were supposedly his best friends. Like, Devin Moore was my best friend. But when I was down in the dumps, I didn't see no support from them guys. They were too worried about partying. Now, I took something that me and Tremont have in common and grouped it together and made him see the light.
Yes. He saw the light,
now,
Dan.
I have his back. He has my back. In and outside this business.
I mean,
and I promised him one thing. I promised him the chance, the spotlight, to prove what CZW and the CZW crowd has been neglecting the whole 2013. And now, it's just a different aspect for Matt Tremont. You were looking at the babyface hero. I'm exposing the evil side of Matt Tremont. The side that nobody wanted to see, and the side that Matt Tremont did not want to expose. But he had to. He had to get this recognition. And I'm sorry, and I'm going to apologize, and I'm not going to apologize for what he's going to unleash at Cage of Death this Saturday.
It's all yours, Dan.
No, that was the question.
Okay. 50,000 words, guys, and what he's going to unleash and what my team is going to unleash on the Nation of Intoxication is going to be only an example to what lies ahead in 2014 for the Combat Zone.
All right, I'll ask you the same thing I asked Matt. Do you think maybe you bit off more than you can chew against the Nation of Intoxication?
I can never bite off more than I can chew. It's all about mind games. You know, and you guys gotta remember, it's 4-on-3, gentlemen. It's 4-on-3. Mm-hmm. The numbers are stacked against them.
It's a numbers game.
I have Ron Mathis, who has nothing but. Points to prove. He wants a spot in the Combat Zone. The only way to get spots in the Combat Zone is to prove that you can hang with the big boys. You can hang with the top deathmatch guys. And what better way to do that than the grandest stage of all, Cage of Death? Now, Rory Mondo, he just lost his goddamn mind. He's my only setback. He's the only one I'm worried about because, to me, he's about to explode and probably might unload on anybody. He might, you know, accidentally, you know, take a couple of his teammates out, but I got steps And I've already mapped that out to avoid situations like that for a Saturday call. And,
you know,
that's pretty much the story, so he's getting ready to prove it. And me, I just have a point to prove, too. It's my comeback to the combat zone, and I want to prove that I am still a key factor in this company.
What does your room look like? Do you have all these, like, graphs and all these plans drawn up of different scenarios that might happen? Because it seems that you're so Machiavellian in your plotting.
Well, dude, if I exposed all my secrets to you, then what would be the point of that?
Either that or he's got a guilty conscience. He has to plan everything out like that.
I'm not sure. I'm not sure what you're out to prove. I mean, you're upset with Devin, but what did Danny and 13 do to you? I get the Devin thing. Collateral damage? Yeah, what did Danny do to you?
Well, Danny didn't do nothing to me personally, but why not? He's on their team.
Dean, you can't make an omelet without breaking some eggs, I guess.
Innocent bystanders get hurt all the time.
That's very true.
It's true. Well,
he's 13, he's just there. You know, you're in my path, man.
You're bringing a storm.
Cage is at 15th anniversary.
Yes.
My team has a lot to prove. You know, we're going to prove why we shouldn't be forgotten. I'm going to let action speak, you know, for themselves. I just hope these guys are going to be there to witness the massacre of the Nation of Intoxication.
Now, have you seen the cage yet? Do you know what it looks like this time out?
I've gotten some photos or some blueprints handed off to me secretively because they're trying to keep this cage of death a little secret. That's the only thing that might play in a factor against our team, but I doubt it because I've got my hand on some of the blueprints. So there's some interesting construction going on here. It's going to be probably one of the most deadliest cage of deaths I've ever seen.
Every time, you know what, every time you come on, you're talking about blueprints. You talked about blueprints for Tangled Web. You talked about every time I've talked to you, you got blueprints. I swear to God, I'm going to see your room one day, and it's going to look like Lee Harvey Oswald. You're going to have maps and X's with the book depository. It's terrible.
I got men on the grassy knoll.
Yes, you do, and his name's Tremont, and he's bringing a world of pain for the Nation of Intoxication. This is not going to be for the faint of heart.
No, it's going to be a violent, it's not going to be a wrestling match, cage of death never is, but it's going to be one of the most violent cage of deaths that, in my opinion, to date.
And that's saying something, because last year was very violent.
Well, you know, and that was a good-hearted Matt Tremont. Can you imagine what a not-so-good-hearted Matt Tremont will be capable of?
That's very true. Now, before we get to your final thoughts heading into Cage of Death,
and we're frying up the one he just caught.
You had to go there. You had to throw me off. Now, before we talk about your final thoughts of Cage of Death, I want to bring up a question I asked Matt earlier. Now, before Cage of Death, at 4 o'clock, if you already got your tickets from czwrestling.com, there's a Q&A for the fans. Now, what do you think is more for the faint of heart? I mean, what do you think is worse? Do you think getting inside that cage of death, or do you think looking at those brain-dead mouth breathers asking you questions? What do you think's worse, cage of death or those mouth breathers?
I have a lot more important things to do the day of cage of death than doing this Q&A thing. But if the combat zone feels that, it's a good thing to have the fans interact with the guys on the show, then so be it. But don't let these assholes get out of line with one question, because I will end the interview right then and there. I have no time for these morons.
Neither do I.
Hey, Drew, what does the mat feel like?
They don't know good wrestling if it slapped them in the face with a hot waffle iron.
And that could happen at CZW.
No, Day of Cage of Death is it's an unpredictable day.
I have a lot to prepare for here.
I got three of the most blood hungry animals to get prepared mentally. Well, I don't really need to prepare Matt Tremont mentally because he's already got his game face on. I've talked to him quite a few times throughout the week, and he's got his focus set.
Did you share the blueprints with Matt?
Well, possibly. Of course I did. What kind of question is that? See, this is dumb ass questions that I'm talking about. These dumb ass better not be asking stupid ass questions like that. Oh.
Okay.
I love you, Dan. I love you. I'm sorry.
Fluffy man.
I didn't mean to lash out. Yeah, that's not right. I shouldn't lash out you like that.
I laughed so hard I can't see anything in front of me.
Okay, now your final thoughts. You have Tremont catching chickens.
I got a meeting thunder and crap and lightning.
It's what's your final thoughts heading up to since your comeback as an active member of the CZW roster? Since your comeback, this is the most important match you've had.
Yes,
what are your final thoughts heading into it?
My first Cage of Death. And like I said, in the prior interview, I never thought I would have the opportunity to grace my presence in the demonic structure of Cage of Death. So it's a good opportunity for me. It's the WrestleMania of the Indies, in my opinion.
Oh, the card is amazing.
Yeah.
And like I said, the card for this Saturday is, bar none, probably one of the best Cage of Death cards I've ever seen. That's a shoot. DJ has gone far and beyond expectations to make this the best Cage of Death possible. And we have some big shoes to fill to make this a memorable Cage of Death. But there's a lot of talent on that show that have a lot to prove, too. So if the fans miss out on this Cage of Death, then they're their asses for missing out on something. I think it's going to be a special show. It's going to be one that remembered.
Certainly. I do have one last question. This came from Twitter. It came from On Point Ross, and it has nothing to do with Cage of Death. But he wanted to know your thoughts on $5 wrestling and how is it helping or hurting the business. So that's a question for you from On Point Ross.
Man, that's a touchy subject in my opinion. It has its funny aspects to this business. It's funny, yes, but is it going too far? In my opinion, absolutely. One of these guys could actually get hurt really bad. After I thought about it and I watched it, it's really not right in my mind what those guys are doing. You can obviously tell some of these guys on the roster are not fully there in their heads. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it's a good idea. It's a good idea, but it's in my opinion, it's not really as funny as it is once you think about it.
So you would think something like $5 wrestling kind of hurts more than helps?
Oh, no. It's going to hurt, the guys that are on the shows. These guys are not trained in any sense. That's the thing. It's like they're not properly prepared. It's one of these guys are actually going to get hurt, and these guys ain't going to realize how serious it is until something like that happens. That's all I'm saying.
Well, I got you, and I certainly respect your opinion, and I'm sure On Point Ross does as well. But Drew, I want to thank you for your time here tonight. You have a huge match tonight. I didn't even realize it was your first. Yeah, I didn't even realize it was your first Cage of Death.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, congratulations on that. You've had a hell of a comeback for the active roster. I mean, when you think about the things that you've accomplished, and your year was kind of up and down, working for different companies and different stupid things that happened, and I'm not getting into that. That's not my intention here. But
I know. Tell me about it.
But just stupid things that have happened and this and that, and now you're main eventing I mean, when you really think about it, you're main eventing the biggest indie card of the year. This is – it's an amazing comeback you've had, and I'm happy that I know you, and just good luck and be safe.
Hey, man, like I said before, you know, beating these guys was a great a great honor this year. You know, these guys are stand-up guys. I've always enjoyed coming on your show. And I always, you know, I value your opinions deeply, especially the ones that we agree on, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. most certainly in that respect. But, Drew, thank you.
You
I'll see you on
No order an eye pay-per-views this month. Your ass better be in some of those seats.
I will be there. I should be there by 4 p.m. I'll have my
pad.
I'll have my pad. I'll have my paper. I'll have my recorder. I'm
going to
have my
game questions.
I'm going to have my stenographer there. I can't wait.
Oh, shit. We're going to be held up in a court of law. Oh, boy.
Oh, it probably will be. I was talking to Matt last night. It really depends how I want to take the Q&A. If I take it as a serious thing, or if I start seeing it going the way that I think it will, I may have a...
This is such a bad idea.
I may have a "it's still real to me" moment with Matt.
Matt, you're so real to me, damn it!
I might have that moment with Matt. You never know.
When you took DJ through those pains of class, it really got to me.
Yeah, I can't wait.
I love you.
This is, oh man, I.
This
you know,
could go really good, or this could go really bad.
I have to be there just to see this collection of.
I'm actually interested to see what the fans have to ask me. I really am.
Well, like, when you take barbed wire to your head, like, does it really hurt?
I just want to see Hogan ask a few questions.
Is that real blood?
No, it's fake and it doesn't hurt. This is actually a trampoline, you jackass.
Oh, my goodness.
My name's David Copperfield.
But I will certainly be there. I'll see you at 4 o'clock. I can't wait for this Q&A. It's going to be
I will also be filming my shoot interview, gentlemen.
Oh, you're doing that. You're doing the backstage thing with RF Video?
Oh, yes.
Awesome. That's good to know.
I'm pretty sure these guys are interested in what I have to say.
Oh. You know, if the question comes to other companies you worked in 2013, I would hate to see what comes out.
Actually, I would love to see what comes out.
Well, be that as it may, true, it's always a pleasure. I'll see you on Saturday, okay?
Gentlemen, you enjoy the night. Thanks again, and I hope to see you there Saturday. It's one show you guys do not want to miss.
That's right. CZW is presenting one hell of a card, and we're going to talk about it right now. That is, of course, taking place Saturday, 7:30 p.m. is the advertised bell time, but let's be serious. It's going to be closer to...